Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Who is the Man of the Shroud? I am Father Peter Mangum from the Cathedral of St. John Berkman's here in Shreveport, Louisiana. And with me, of course, is Dr. Cheryl White from LSU Shreveport. As we continue our examination of this incredible relic and all of its associated mysteries, it's great that so many of our listeners are passing along questions and comments about this series, and this week we address a specific question that a few of you have asked us. What is the relationship, if any, between the cloth known as the Shroud of Turin and another cloth, the Sudarium of Oviedo, held in the Cathedral of San Salvador in Oviedo, Spain? I mean, what a great question. We mentioned the Sudarium briefly in one of our previous podcasts, but we'll take this opportunity to examine it in more detail. Sudarium is the word used in the Bible, and it literally means sweat cloth. And usage of such a cloth in ancient times would have been to cover the face of someone who had died, especially died a particularly brutal death. The Gospel of John mentions a second cloth that the apostles Peter and John saw in the tomb on that morning the discovery was made that Jesus' body was no longer there. Quote, "So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place." So, what is this second cloth that St. John speaks of?
Many people tend to overlook this description given in the Gospel of John, that he uses the term cloths in the plural, something that famous shroud photographer Barry Schwartz spoke about when he was with us in Shreveport a few weeks ago, is the fact that the Gospel narrative describes what would have been an authentic Jewish burial. If Jesus' face was covered with a cloth when he was taken down from the cross, then according to Jewish requirements, that cloth would have to be placed in the tomb with the body. It would have contained blood and other fluids, and therefore considered part of the body. So let's talk about this particular cloth, the Sudarium of Oviedo, from the standpoint of history. The historical record shows that a cloth was taken from the East, maybe from Palestine, through North Africa, across the Mediterranean Sea to Spain, and that this move began in the year 614. Its historical journey actually can be aligned with it moving ahead of advancing Persian forces, just as many holy relics were translated to other locations during this time period. It arrived on the Iberian Peninsula in a wooden reliquary purported by oral tradition to have belonged to the Apostle James. Such an association is not unexpected, considering the popular devotion to this saint in Spain. Oviedo has held this relic continuously, therefore, for approximately 1,400 years. Its historical chain of custody is not disputed. This is remarkable, and it is important.
The Sudarium measures 33 inches by 21 inches, and it has many characteristics that link it to the Shroud of Turin. The custodians of the relic in Oviedo have permitted extensive study by forensic experts who have correlated blood stains and blood flow with those of the shroud and found there are many points of agreement. In fact, there is a blood stain on the sudarium corresponding with the back of the head that is the exact size and irregular shape of the blood stain on the back, the dorsal side, of the shroud. Let me emphasize why this is important. The evidence suggests that both cloths covered the same man, who suffered wounds that were forensically reproducible. If both cloths covered the same man, then there is a logical assumption we must make. Since the shroud has a documented history that begins in 1355 in France, and the sudarium is directly traceable to the 7th century appearance in Spain, it is a historical fact that the two cloths have not been in contact with each other since before the 7th century. This makes the only possible point of contact before the year 614. But that's not all. Again, as with the shroud, there is other compelling evidence that tells us a great deal. Scientific testing shows that there is a soil concentration on the nose area of the sudarium that matches the chemical composition of samples taken from the site of Calvary in the Old City of Jerusalem. Finally, the blood type on the Shroud of Turin and the sudarium of Oviedo are exactly the same, type AB, found in less than 10% of the world's population.
There actually is so much correlation between these two cloths that increasingly the study of one demands the study of the other. As scientific testing methods advance, there's no question that we will be hearing much more about this. From the perspective of the historian, the solid, undisputed, and known record for the sudarium of Oviedo, with its physical correlation to the Shroud of Turin, makes an association we cannot ignore. The lack of documented history for the Shroud prior to 1355 becomes even more of an enigma that begs to be solved. If anything, it's fair to say that the sudarium actually infers that the Shroud of Turin is much older than its purported medieval date. There's just so much more to learn. The mysteries continue, don't they?
It's true. Whatever you believe about the Shroud of Turin, it is an iconic representation of the Lord's Passion, or the authentic burial cloth of Jesus that is proof of his resurrection, the many mysteries do indeed pull us in. It's why next week we are going to talk about artwork. How did we arrive at our understanding of what Jesus looks like? What possible role, if any, did the Shroud of Turin play in shaping that for us? Please continue to send us your questions and comments. Let us know what you'd like for us to cover in these podcasts. Follow our Facebook page and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. For more information about the Shroud of Turin, we recommend some important and comprehensive resources. The website Shroud.com by Barry Schwartz and the critical summary published by the American Confraternity of the Holy Shroud, available at cmjpublishers.com. Finally, let me say it again. We are excited to let everyone know that this fall, in October, the Cathedral of St. John Berkman's will host yet another major Shroud event, this time involving Dr. John Jackson, the nuclear physicist of the original Shroud of Turin research project, and noted Shroud speaker Russ Briault. They approach Shroud studies from two different points of view, one a nuclear physicist and the other, whose presentation makes use of over 150 superb images and unfolds like a CSI investigation. Look for much more information surrounding these presenters, which, incidentally, will coincide exactly with the 40th anniversary of the STIRP project of 1978. Yesterday was Ascension Thursday, the 40th day since Easter, since the bodily resurrection of our Lord. I conclude this podcast with the collect of the Mass of the Ascension of our Lord, offering this prayer to all who now hear it. Gladden us with holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving, for the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation. And where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Thank you for listening and learning more about the Holy Shroud and the one it once wrapped.